These are shmuzin, which were given by a great, great man. His name was Rav Shlomo of Alba, who was a mashkiach in Ber Yaakov, the yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. His name doesn't even appear here, but it's obvious it's him. And he was one of the great Bali Musar. Many of you are familiar with one of his other works. What's it called? Ali Shur. Very famous. Very famous. And I see a whole series of tapes. I found this in here about Shalom Bayis, a different Rav. But I'm interested primarily in what Rav Volba has to say. And I think it's so important. I'd like to begin, we always talk about Parashat Shavua. Vayigash Elav Yehuda. Vayigash Elav Yehuda. Yehuda steps forward, goes over to Paro, to Yosef rather, he was trying to get Binyamin out, etc. Yehuda therefore is the one who takes upon himself the responsibility. Anochi Erevenu, we read it in last week's Parsha. Rabbi said the essence of marriage is responsibility. A man gets married, takes upon himself the responsibility for a wife. And Chazal say, based on the pasuk, Tov la'gever yisa'ol min urav. When he's young, he should take upon himself responsibility. Chazal darshin, ze ol isha. When a man gets married, he's now accepting responsibility upon himself for the rest of his life to take care of his wife. She also has responsibility. I'm speaking to a male audience here. The men have to understand what it means to be a husband. I think it was from Rabbi Parnas Shalita that the word husband means you husband all your resources to take care of this woman. Beautiful. That's what it means. Yisa ol menurav. You get married. It's good to get married young, and you accept upon yourself what's called the ol isha, the responsibility. The responsibility to take care of it's a Koheles Rabba, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Chav Dalet, some said Chav Dalet, Tov Legezrek Yisa Ol Benurav, Ol Isha. When you get married, this is Rav Shlomo Valba's introduction, you're mekabel upon yourself to take the carrier, Bechol Matzav, Bechol Zman, and you will never ever be Porek Ula Meola. Never. You are responsible for this ol. People take the word ol, it's like ol malchus shamayim. That's true. That's also an ol. But other ol people don't like. But I'm telling you right now, you get married, it's an ol, it's a responsibility. I'm not going to use the word burden, which they often use to translate the word ol. Do you use the word burden for malchus shamayim? I think the burden is inappropriate there too. An ol, so they use the word yoke. Yoke. That's also certain negative connotations. Call it a privilege, you know. But they have now when it comes to bar mitzvah. They say, when I was growing up, bar mitzvah, you became mekabel upon yourself all mitzvahs. That's a new expression. Noam all mitzvahs. You hear that? Never heard that before. It's the end thing now. The pleasantness of the responsibility to do mitzvahs. So when you get married, Baruch Hashem. It's the pleasantness of the responsibility for a wife. It's a lifetime responsibility. It's a lifetime responsibility. And when a person gets married, it's a completely different life. Totally different. Totally and absolutely different from their life before. Completely different. I'd like to say, Chaim Shmulevitz explains in his Sichas Musar that there are three people who mochlem kol avonos. And what are the three people are? Gersh and his Gaya.
Gets married.
We'll save that for last. Nismana Parnas al Tibur, you're appointed a leader of a community, and one who gets married. When he gets married, again, the Chumash Rashi and Bereishis. Mochlas. Mochlas, right? That's a Chazal Dash, but Mochlas and Mechila. So Chaim, what's the common denominator between a Gersh and his Gaya, a person who's appointed a community leadership, and a husband? Hatzad HaShavah Shebehem, they've been kabbal upon themselves, Achrayus. When you mekabel achrayis, all your sins are forgiven. A ger, mekabel noam ol mitzvahs. You didn't have to, it was a guy before. A community leader has the biggest achrayis. You have to respond for your community. And a husband, he has achrayis for his wife. All three are mechila for all their averis. I'd like to go further in the Parsha, in the Parsha Yos, I should say. If you talk about Yehuda, he appears in bold, in big bold, throughout the second half of Chumash Bereishis. Is that Chumash Bereishis over there or not? Where's Yehuda mentioned for the very first time? When he's born, correct. He's born in Parshas Vayetze. And what does the Torah say about Yehuda? Rabbos, I'm telling you now very important things, very, very critical things. Hapam Odes Hashem. Leah thanks HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving her a fourth child. Hapam Odes Hashem. So we see clearly that the shoresh of the word Yehuda is thanks. Hapam Odes Hashem. This time I thank Hashem. So Yehuda means the lashon of thanking, okay? Very good. That's what we have over here in this week's part, in Parshas Vayetze, which we read a number of weeks ago. Next week, or we'll say a week from the Shabbos, we're going to read about Yehuda again. Yehuda's all over the place. He's in Vayetze, he's in Vayeshev, Miketz, Vayigash, Vayichi. He's really, you know, he's there. And he's a major player. We're going to read Rabosai next week's parasha. Yehuda ata yaducha achecha. Listen to the words. What does it mean? What's going to be a translation? Your brothers will thank you? What do you say? Is that a great translation? I don't have the art scroll here. I don't have one of those art scroll chumash and Rashi here. Or chumash. Bible that they had it last year. Yours. I gave it back. Not a mistake. I gave it back. We had a stone chumash. Who wants to give me a translation? Ata yoducha achecha. You mean thank? The person to thank you. What do you say? Admit. Okay. I would say the best English word is acknowledge. After yoducha achecha, your brothers will acknowledge you as their king. He was the king. I wish I had that English chumash. I'm guessing that they translated. You can get it online. I guess the translation is acknowledge. That seems to be the best possible translation of acknowledge. But there's another translation you just said before, which is admit. Where do you find the word hodah to mean an admission? Whether we were supposed to be mitzvah this year. Have we learned about the Matzil? Come up right at the very beginning. Come on. What's the expression about Matzil?
What if it
makes us? What if it makes us? Or Hodah is Baldin. So Hodah means three things. It means to thank, as in Parshas Vayetze, Odes Hashem. It means to acknowledge. That's what I understand. Atu Yaducha Kecha. And it also means to admit. And it so much means to admit. Look in Targum Unklis on Yehuda to Yaducha Achecha, an amazing chat. I'm reading from the Targum. Yehuda at Odessa, you admitted. What did you admit to? What did you admit to? Story of Tamar. Velo behesisa, you weren't embarrassed. And therefore, Bach Yodun Achayach. Therefore, your brothers will admit. But admit me, it means to acknowledge. I'll acknowledge you as a leader because you admitted to your paternity in the story of Tamar, which was, and you weren't even embarrassed. Can you not be embarrassed? The answer is you do the right thing, you should never be embarrassed. As the Chazal say, I'd rather be embarrassed b'sho'achas in this world than be embarrassed in all eternity in the next world. Remember what Tamar told Yehuda? She gave him a little, nice little remez. She didn't say explicitly, Chazal say about Messiah, mutav she'yach pil adam l'toch kivshan ha'esh tal yav b'chaveh ha'barabim. And she was ready to go into the fire without embarrassing him publicly, but she knew her customers. She knew who was a tzaddik, and she gave the following expression. He said as follows: Haker no, ein no eloloshen bakosha. Haker no boracha v'al ta'abe sholosh nefashis. And she knew she had twins. She had a sonogram. I don't know sholosh nefashis. How did she know she had twins? But whatever it was. So she said, don't cause the death of three innocent souls. And what was the response? The next person. Vayaka Yehuda Vayomer, Sotka Mimeni. Mimeni, says Rashi. Mimeni himu beres. I'm the father. Yehuda had many other ways out of this jam. Had he been a Russia, he could have just had him. No one would know. Could have killed her, the pregnant woman. But he had other ways out. Could have given her a pardon. I'll give you a presidential pardon. You really, she did a terrible thing. I'll pardon you. No. He said, it's me. I mentioned this in a different context. He said, it's from me. I made the mistake. There's a book called Mistakes Were Made. That's the big heading of the book. And a small subtitle, but not by us. It's very easy to say, Al-Khayt Shechotosa Lefnei Hashem, to bang at someone else's chest. And even to talk in third person, it's not so hard. Mistakes were made, even without the subtitle, not by us. That's what it implies. Mistakes were made. This book has a remarkable historical footnote. I always say it over. You know, there are great people among the nations of the world. We have to believe and learn from their lessons. One such man was Dwight D. Eisenhower. I'm not discussing his presidency now, which is a different story, but his generalship. He was the general of the Allied command, D-Day. D-Day was the riskiest day of World War II. The single riskiest day. It was a significant risk. We throw thousands, tens of thousands of troops at Normandy beaches and get back nothing. And just be repelled. And it almost happened. And Ike, as we called him, I like Ike, composed Chalil v'chas, a release you'd have to give if it failed. And they have the first draft and the second draft. And the first draft is written in third person. Mistakes were made. We miscalculated the strength of the Nazi fortifications. He wrote a whole thing. And then, put that aside, wrote another draft. I, Dwight Eisenhower, was the supreme commander of these forces. I made the mistake. The people died. It's my fault. I apologize. He turned it from third person to first person. Thank God a million times that was never revealed. Neither was revealed. It was kept in his archives. Thank God there were many unfortunate casualties. But at least we got the beach that was the beginning of the end of World War II. And they made a mistake. If just say it already. Everyone's, they dodge around it, you know. Get up and say they made a mistake. This required a man like Yehuda. Yehuda was a great man. And not only that, let me tell you another Chiddush Nifla. I have a Chiddush Nifla in Arab. Why are we called Jews? We should be called Israelites. Look, throughout the Tanakh, we're referred to as Israelites. B'nai Yisrael, right? Throughout the Tanakh. Where's the one savior of Tanakh? What about called Jews? Yehuda. Only one savior. The Gilas Esther, of course. Why? Shaul, why? Very good. The simple reading is, it's a historical note. Until that time, it was B'nai Yisrael. After the 10 tribes were taken into captivity, only people left was Shevet Yehuda, Binyamin, and Levi. So, all right. Yehuda was the majority, became called Yehuda. Can I give you a different suggestion? Targum, next week's parasha. Not Targum Unkelus, that we said already. Targum Yonas and Ben Uziel. Listen to this. Yehuda, Ant Odesa al Uvda de Tamar. Tells us what specifically what it is. Begin Cain because of that. Loch Yehudun Achoch. Your brothers will acknowledge you. V'yiskerun Yehudoin al Shmoch. We are called Jews, Yehudim, to this very day. You know why? Because Yehuda was Moda. That he was the father of the children of Tamar. Can you imagine? In one act of heroism, in one second, he was Zocha to not only be the acknowledged leader of the people of Israel, but we're all called after his name. You're called Jews, Yehudim. For the last 2,000 years, we're called Yehudim. Amazing. My chiddush is that this pshat in the Targum Yonasan is not a contradiction to the historical pshat that Shaul mentioned. Based on a vote for Rav Dessler. Rav Dess has a famous piece called Emunah Chamin about Megillas Esther. And he says, what happened? The story, since we're past Hanukkah, the next holiday is already Purim. We can get an early start on Purim. What happened in Purim? In Purim, what happened was, we all know, Mishnah Shalosh V'Molcho, Osa Mishteh, right? And what happened at that time? Unfortunately, Chazal said in the Sefer Megillah, there were Jews who they went to that party, aka orgy. If you look in the Pesukim and the Chazal, first Perek of Megillah, and they participated, unfortunately. Rabosai, 9 years later, Bishnas Shnemas Yelamocho, he pilled Puru Agoro and was about to destroy the Jews. And what irked Haman? What aroused his ire? Pesukim of Farashim and Megillah. What? Who? Rabosai, come on. Mordechai Yehudi. He refused to bow down to him. Now, as an apparent result, if you're going to be a geopolitician, as a result of Mordechai's intransigence and fundamentalism, all of Israel are going to be killed. How are going to be killed? So, what happens? Mordechai tells them, you better do tshuva, B'nai Yisrael. You know why? Because you're guilty of kloya. Why? Al shenenu misudas p'shol sharashim. Because 9 years ago, you went to the orgy in the king's palace. What would my response be to that? Mordechai, you're dreaming. We all know the proximate cause of this gzera. You refused to bow down to Haman. Now you're putting it on us? 9 years ago? What, are you kidding? That would be the response of the modern Jew. Sorry to use that expression. This guy is caused our downfall and he's pinning it on us. But that was not their response. Not at all. Not at all. Chazal say, based on the Pesukim and Megillah, they cried for 3 days and they fasted and they did tshuva and they repented the fact that 9 years earlier they had gone to that orgy, that party, and as a result that they were saved. What does it mean? B'nai Yehuda, the Yehudim, said to Hashem, we made a mistake. Not mistakes were made. We made a mistake. We were wrong for going to that. Now we realize our mistake. We do tshuva. We regret it. We admit it. And we accept not to do it again. And for that reason, they were saved. So therefore, the idea that we call Yehudim is, yes, it's a historical reality in Megillas Esther. But that itself is based on the fact that we recognize our mistakes. And that's why we came back from Golas. Purim Storm came back from Golas. Apparently, unfortunately, the Aseres HaShvatim apparently never recognized their mistake. They never said it, so therefore they never still in Golas. We made mistakes, we were put into Golas, but we recognized our mistake. Rabosai, we are called Yehudim, and I'd like to say Pshat in the first line in the Ksuba. Rabosai, who's married in this room? You have a ksuba? You have a look at it? You know what it says?
Bishnas, whatever.
Yeah, Bishnas. The first operative line is, Vano Eflach, I will work. I just saw a posting in Rabbi Student's thing, someone showed it to me, called Support Your Wife. He discussed what we spoke about last year, a little bit, Rabbi Elior, Rabbi Natan. You have to go to work if you'll find of interest. I don't agree with everything there, but anyway, it came to my mind. That not a falach, we spoke about that, if you recall. It was a semi-ingest this year. Okay. Vana Eflach va'okir va'afaris va'ezon va'afaris yisichi lichus guven Yehudoin. What's the guven Yehudoin? The word then Yehuda, Jewish husbands. And then it says, the polchrin, umokrin, v'zonin, umafarnesin, l'nshehon. What's the next word? I don't know what it is. Bekushta. What's Bekushta mean? Literally, what's Bekushta mean? Truth, right? Where was Bekushta in last week's parasha? Now I know that I told you should bend the Chumash and Rashi and not Targum, but maybe those who don't listen to me, and they did Targum anyway. Correct. How'd you know that? You do Targum? Wow. See, once in a while, you do a Targum, it comes up to a very, very important. Very, very good. That's exactly what I was referring to. The brothers admit to their mistake. Right? They admit to their mistake. And they say, Avol Hashem Emanach. What do you mean, Avol Hashem Emanach? What does Avol mean? I'm just going to show you where the Pasuk is. There we go. Perek Membeis, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Avol Hashem Emanach. Bekushta Chayav Emanach. I want to make the following comment. Guven Yehudayin are those who follow Yehuda. Yehuda was the Melech. And he is the one who said, yes, Tzadka Mimeni. He's the one who admitted his quote mistake. He is the one who, the word Bekushta, Hashem Melech is Bekushta. Guven Yehudayin is Bekushta. When you're married, Rabosai, I'm talking to all my married men and future married men. The two most important phrases in your marriage are, I'm sorry, which is Guven Yehudayin Bekushta, Avol Hashem Menachnu, as well as thank you, which is the original Hodah. Hapam Odes Hashem. If you don't thank your wife, Chas V'Chalil, you can come not to thank Hashem. Who said so? Who said that by not being grateful to your wife could end up being an ingrate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Who said so? Yeah. This is not talking. This is Rashi. An often a Rashi. Parash is what? Yeah, right. Starts in Bereshis and goes to Noah. In Parash is Noah, we read, Asher Bonu B'nei Ha'odom. These are the people of the Migdal. Bonu B'nei Ha'odom, says Rashi. Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Ches. Ele B'nei Mi. B'nei Chamorim U'gmalim. Ele B'nei Adam Arishin. Shekofa Satova Ama Isha Shenasata Imadi. He blamed his wife. Rabosa, you get married, you carry your wife. You never blame her for anything. Take the blame on yourself, even if it really is her fault. You take the blame. That's what means all Isha. Adam Arishin blamed his wife. Af Elu Kofu Betova Limro to rebel against whom? Hashem. Sheshpiyam tovu miltam and amabo. The two most important words in your marriage are I'm sorry, bekushta, aval hashem anachnu, and thank you. You say, what have to thank my wife for? She's my wife, she's doing what she has to do. That's terrible. That's a terribly misguided, you know, people thank everybody. I'll thank the cashier at the checkout, I'll thank the but your own wife not. Well, she's my wife, I have to thank her. Rachmana l'tzlan mehaydaita. You're required to thank your wife at every turn, and as much as you thank her, it's never enough. As much as you say, I'm sorry, it's also not enough, because we're never, no matter how good a husband you are, I hope you're all good husbands. I hope so. I pray so. But still, we're not good enough. There's so much to be a good husband, you have to be so much. And you know, Yehuda, as a result of this admission on his part, became the leader of two dynasties, the progenitor of two dynasties, I should say. One, of course, is the Malchus, right? We're going to read it in next week's parasha. V'yosur Shevet Yehuda. Why? What did David HaMelech, the most famous of all of Yehuda's descendants, do when confronted with his sin? The first one out of his mouth. Chotosi. So many same shot in the Gemara in Masechta Yuma. Shaul sinned once and he was not forgiven. He lost the kingdom. And David sinned twice and was not. And why? So my Rebbe same shot, printed one of my Rebbe's svarim, that Shaul pontificated and then procrastinated. He tried to give excuses. We're going to read it in the Haftorah of Parsha Zachar. Well, Purim, it's ready, coming up in a few months. You know, I did kill Amalek, and I listened to the people, and I, finally, after all that, he saw no way. Okay, Chotosi. In those few minutes, he lost his kingdom. And David did it right away, kept his kingdom. If you can't admit that you're wrong, you can't be a king. And the ultimate king will be the Mashiach. If you read about him in the Navi Yeshaya, we read it that we're going to read on the last day of Pesach, even further down the calendar. He's not only a great man, he's also an Anav, a humble person. And the potential Mashiach, there's only one person we know in history that was potentially Mashiach. I'm talking about Chizkiyosa, you're right. I mean, Bar Kokhba, I mean, since the ghost. Bar Kokhba. And why was he not Mashiach? Look at Eicha Rabosi. You know why? No, not Bar Yochanan beer. That was the beer. Because the Tana was a different version of the story. Was told him that he was wrong, and instead of saying I made a mistake, or probably considering his advice, became a king and he died. If you're a king, you have a lot of power. If you can't control yourself, you can't admit that maybe you're wrong, you can't be the Mashiach. That's why that was caused the whole Churban Beit HaMikdash, the casualties were incredible. But you know what? Lo Yosur Shevet B'Yehuda U'mechokek B'Bein Raglav. What does that mean? Eilu Nesiei Eretz Yisrael means Talmidim. This is the dynasty of Torah leadership. Rabosai, who was the first family of Torah leadership? Bismana Mishnayis and beyond. Hillel. Who is Hillel from? David. From Yehuda. He was a tremendous Anav. There was a story by Hillel. They wanted to they bent 400 things and they tried to get him to the showers with shampoo. You know the whole story of Mesech Shabbos. And they couldn't get him angry. That's a leader. And why are we pass like Mesilla? That's what Yavama says here. Why are we pass like Mesilla? Why? Why not Beshama? It says over there, Shekdimu Divrei Beshama Divrei. To get the Midos Award. What are we passing like you? I'm a Midos Award. The answer is, if you're willing to list other opinions and put them first, you're going to come to a better opinion on your own. But you have to have that attitude. You have to be like a Hillel. Rav Hillel say, in your marriage, you are so chosn dom lemelech, like a king. As Yehuda was a king, and as David was a king, and as Beis Hillel were kings, by listening to somebody else, namely your wife, listen to what she has to say. The Gemara says, if you're taller than your wife, which most of you probably are taller than your wife, bend down and hear her advice, her sage counsel. Listen to what she has to say. She has Bina Yaseira. She has insight that you don't have. What do you mean? My SATs were higher than hers. It's a good thing. The Gemara says in Masech Yevamos, the Chos Darga Nesivitisa. Go down a little bit. Your SAT should be a little bit less than yours. I don't want to say it's the Yikuva. I never asked my wife's SATs. But it's okay. But she has insight that you don't have. You may be academically ahead, but in terms of insight, understanding people and situations, you have a lot to learn from her. And you better bend down and learn and listen. This is extraordinarily important. That's what a marriage is about. Listening. What they call today communication skills. Someone who's always only interested in talking can't listen. You can't talk to talk and listen at the same time. Listen. Listening skills is a critical component of a marriage. You have to be able to listen. Such important lessons for every single Jewish marriage. All of so far emerging from the Parashat HaShavua in terms of who Yehuda is. But as we know, just to spend the last few minutes about finding a wife, and those who already found a wife, I'm sure that you will find these midas and try to complement them whenever you find them. When you find a wife, you're looking for chesed. Everybody knows that. The story of Rivka, we read about in Parshas Chayisar, that we usually speak about Chayisar, we didn't have a chance to do it this year. I apologize that I'm over in Balti Acher, or we're over in Vayigash. But some 6 weeks later, we have to better late than never. Not only did the Eliezer look for chesed, which of course is obvious in the Pesukim themselves, but he also looked for the accompanying midah of tznius. We said a shmuz, something about tznius. Tznius is a prerequisite for all human beings. We read in Haftarah, what does Hashem dorish mecha? Abbas chesed, right? Vasol spishu abba chesed, vatznea lecha sim alokecha. He gives the odom atov. Every human being has to have a meter of tznius before HaKadosh Baruch. That's true. But a woman is required to have an additional level of tznius. And this is true on both sides, even of the secular society, the non-Jewish society. It goes back, doesn't go back to Har Sinai, doesn't go back to Avraham Avinu, goes back to Parshas Bereishis. Yes, Parshas Bereishis. Pru revu, umel'u es ha'oretz v'chivshua. Chaser Vav. Shazacha Kova, Shazacha Keva, Shalom Tehei Yatz Onis, which they translate as a gadabout. You know what that means? Is a Yatz Onis. Want to look up gadabout in the dictionary and see what it says? G-A-D-A-B-O-U-T. She's about. She's all over the place. Chazal are not happy about that. Even about Teitzei Dina Basleya. Right? We just read a couple weeks ago. So Chazal are critical even of that. What do they say? Teitzei Dina Basleya. That she had no right. We don't want to blame the victim. That's a very careful thing. That's dangerous over here. We don't blame the victim because the perpetrator was Shem. We don't want to blame the victim. Nonetheless, Chazal say, Vateitzei Dina Bas Leah. He says, because Leah, Afi Atzon is Hoysa. Vateitzei Leah Likroso. And the daughter's like the mother. There was a whole different story with Rachel, with Leah, with the Dudoyim. But nonetheless, there's a negativity associated. Because we have back in Bereshit, Shalote Yatzonis. And here she was the Yatzonis, and the daughter was the Yatzonis. So Tzniyus, Rabosai, that I said many times, it has an additional level for a woman, even Rabosai, a non-Jewish woman. Who I spoke to in the Beis Medrash this morning, right? About Moavim, Moavis, Ein Dark, Lotus, Belechem, Lekana, Belechem, Vamayim. Think about it for a minute. If not for that requirement of modesty, even in the non-Jewish nations, we wouldn't have David HaMelech. He came from a Rustam Moaviyah. This is built into nature as HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands nature. Now, I've said many times, this tznius is partially situational and generational. I've said before, that's what she asked you remember that. The Rambam Paskins, the liberal, rational Rambam, said a man shouldn't keep his wife locked up in jail in the house. He should allow her to leave the house once or twice a month. Rabbi Befurish. Rabbi Osai, there's no one in this room who should be crazy enough to try that stunt. I was told the story that some Avreich in Yerushalayim tried it and said, yeah, I'm going to follow Rabbi. His wife used a monthly pass to go to Rabbi Yashiv. He called this guy and said, you're out of your mind. You're a crazy man. Rebbe, the Rambam. What Rambam? That was in the Rambam's day. The world's changed. He often quotes the Chuvas Mincha Shlomo. He writes to Rav Waldenberg, Zecha Tzadikim Levracha, that that Rav Waldenberg says that he goes to Shuk Machne Yehuda. He goes shopping himself, yes, to go to Lador. He went shopping for his. He lost his wife, or he took care of his wife. All been doing right. And he says, it says in the Gemara before Shabrachas, you're not going to go Achorei Isha. Came up behind a woman. How do you walk a Machnuda? There are women everywhere. What do you do? Shlomo went back. Yeah, you're right. In those days, there weren't too many women in the marketplace. In those days, the women stayed home. I was telling him I saw a movie. And I think it was in the YU Museum. I think that's where I saw it, some exhibit. And it was a movie, a silent movie, of New York City back, I don't know, 80 years, 90 years ago. And they showed people walking the streets downtown, you know, Times Square. There were hardly any women there. Because in those days, the women mostly stayed home, and the men were the vast majority of people in the streets. And if you're going to pick the walk behind the woman, you see her, the body, you shouldn't be seeing the way she walks. And so that's an avera. Today, the women, you can't snuck like shaykh. So you have to know how to close your eyes properly. It's impossible to avoid. Things change generationally and situationally, but the principles are forever. And that's why Eliezer, when he's looking for a wife, didn't just look for chesed. He looked for tznius. And he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his tefillah, Hakrei no lefonai hayom. What does Hakrei mean? What does the word Hakrei? Hey, kuf, resh, hey. What do the words mean? It should be what we call a mikra. It should be a mikra, a pure coincidence that this woman happens to be here at this time. The Kliyakov explains, Nara Chashuva Shein Dark Alatzeis Klal Ulefishoa B'mikre Teitze Achshav Lefona Edavka. Why? Kdei Shalo Tiyem En Hayatz Anios. You look for a wife, you don't want the woman is out there all so much. And therefore he says Pshat and Pasuk, L'cheinemar besula v'ish lo yida'od. I know what Rashi says. No, nobody knew her. No one recognized her. She was, this is her first coming out. No one knew who she was. And therefore, lo hoya shum akira, ki lo yotos me'olam, ki b'pam zeh. And therefore, he had to ask, bas mi at. Guys who were still single. If you see a nice young lady at some Shabbaton, don't walk over to her and say, who are you? Not polite. What should you do? Lama lo shoa l'shar naros shayusham. That's it. Who is she? As Boaz said, l'mi anara hazos. So why was Eliezer so brusque and politically incorrect to ask who are you? The answer is, no one else knew who she was. And Isha Tsunua. And Tsunias Rabosai is the other side of the coin, if you will, of Chesed. The two go together. What's your question? The two go together. Because Chesed means you do for others. Because you want to help other people. If you're doing it for yourself, to pray, I'm going to do Chesed, I'm going to go on a project, and I'm going to build up my resume, but the Chesed I perform in, you fill in the blank. I don't want to mention the names of those places. I did this, and to be, help me get into medical school. That's a Chesed. That's a helping yourself. All right, you're doing Chesed. I'm not knocking it. But a true Chesed is something you're doing because you just want to give. You want to be a giving person. That's what you look for in a wife, to be a giving person. People ask me, and women ask me, what should I look for in a husband? I thought the same thing. Chesed and Tznius. Tznius is not to do with male, female. Tznius is everybody. Different extra level comes to a woman. Look for Chesed and Tznius. How do I know that they're both the same thing? Rabosai, what's the opposite of Tznius? We said, Chas v'chalila, you say, Believe what? You want there should be an issue of Tznius. Shouldn't be, you know what I'm talking about. It's an expression. I use it all the time. You want to say something about this person, but you don't want to have that's right. Bli ayin hara. Everyone knows that. Or maybe in Yiddish, kenein hara, right? But everyone knows bli ayin hara. It's the first time of Baba Basra. They see your grain goes high, they're going to be jealous of you, and then you lose all your parnos. That's what it says in the Gemara. Kabosai, you ever learned b'sudu b'mitziya? You see, some look at learning b'kiyas. What is the definition of Mishnah Trumas of someone who's stingy? What's that called, a stingy person? Ayin Ra'ah, as opposed to Ayin Yafa. That's a famous Gemara. 140th, 50th, 60th. What's the word Ayin Ra'ah and Ayin Hara? It's almost identical. Yes! Because the opposite of Ayin Ra'ah, Rabosai, is someone who has no chesed. Stingy. The opposite of Ayin Hara is someone who has tznius. So we say that these two things go together. The chesed and tznius are the opposite of Ayin Ra and Ayin Hara respectively, because they're linked together. And that's why the Kliyaka says, Kala she'eneha yafos, eina tricha bedika. What, she has blue eyes? Are you kidding? Watch out for the blue eyes. It means, eineha yafos, she does chesed, she does it with tznius. These are critical criteria for wives and even for husbands. So if you're still single, you look for a woman who is going to have the chesed and tznius. If you're married, you say, I accepted her for the rest of my life. You know what you have to do? Yourself become a bigger bal chesed and bal tznius. Be more worthy of your loving and lovely wife. Hard to reform your wife. Reform yourself. Become a better person. A bigger Yirei Shemayim, a bigger Talmud Chacham, a bigger tznua, a bigger bal chesed. And then, mamele, you'll be worthy of a wife that your wife is, to become a more appropriate for you, because she'll go up to a mission to your level. Don't preach to her. Just reach a high level yourself. I both said, we just even got started. I want to talk about this so many hours. I wanted to spend on this topic, but today's shiur took a little longer, the first part, and I've been remiss. I'm going to hope that mission next week, aside from the chazar, which that's our first priority, we still have some time to discuss these matters on a fundamental basis. I'm going to be here next semester. We want to believe that I'll try to at least have part of one shiur next week on these in Yonim as well. Good Shabbos to one and all.